if we do all things that please the Father, he's going to come and make his abode with us. He's going to come and manifest himself to us. And Jesus, his Son, will manifest himself to us. And the Holy Spirit has promised to come and indwell us. And so we have the three in one coming into our bodies, into our souls, into our spirits. And so we don't have any opportunity really to be alone if we recognize his presence. These words that we find in the 14th chapter of John certainly are verses that go along with the word that we had last night from the 8th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse and then the 23rd verse. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And so certainly that will be a protection against loneliness, our being self-pitying, our being left to ourselves. What a blessing. Now that's really putting it mild. What a blessing. It's a tremendous, tremendous experience that God brings us into as a result of keeping his words, as a result of doing his will, loving his will, and keeping his commandments. It's no wonder that the Jewish Israelites are fighting against keeping the commandments of the Lord, and they just rule out so much of the New Testament. I lived in that atmosphere so much of my life before I came to New York. And they were really belligerent about it, and were saying without any doubts in their minds that you just could not keep the commandments, and that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were not for the people of God, the children of God. That this kingdom age, the kingdom age it spoke of in the Gospels, was pushed off, would be pushed off into some far future date, after Jesus came to this earth and gave us power to live this way. Well, thank God Jesus did come to this earth for that purpose, that he might save us from ourselves and that he might make it possible for us to keep the commandments, to really do his will. What an empty life there would be, and it's no wonder so many of those people lack life. It's because they're not keeping the commandments, and they don't see any possibility of keeping those commandments. I grew up with these people. We had a group of young people and a young pastor who came to our church in our hometown for weekly meetings. And they were very, very much steeped in this doctrine. And they were very provoked at us, Pentecostal young people, because we believed that we could be filled with the Spirit and we could be given overcoming power. And so they staged a conference with us, and they said they were going to convince us and show us our error and straighten us out and get us out of this terrible doctrine that we had. And so my brothers and my sister and my friends Evelyn and Margaret were all dragged to this place for a conference, and the pastor was going to quiz us. Mm-hmm. I tell you, it was really a very, very great time of examination, and we felt like we were almost like the quiz kids over the radio because of the way they treated us and just pummeled us and attacked us. And finally, it was just too much for me. I wasn't answering all the questions very convincingly. I knew, and this pastor was so very confident that he was right, and there was just no use arguing. So finally I said, I was the oldest of the group, our group, and I said, I don't care what you say, even if you're saying things that seemingly convince me, I'm going to be of the same mind anyway. And I'm going to believe that the Lord can help us to obey him and live for him in this day and age. And that's it. And that was the end of the conference. And they said, they're hopeless. They're just plain hopeless. Well, thank God we weren't hopeless, but we had hope in our hearts and a real desire to please the Lord, even though we were very young and we were inexperienced and we didn't know too much of the Word of God those days. I was quoting scripture the best I knew how, and my friends and my sister and my brothers were doing likewise, but it seemed like we couldn't convince them. And I said, even if I'm convinced against my will, I'm going to go this way. And the Lord has taken us through, and it's been such a glorious way, and there's so many benefits. At the end of an old year and the beginning of a new year in the business world, those who are in business, they're thinking of their benefits, they're thinking of their bonuses, they're thinking of what they can get out of their job and get ahead in life. Well, thank God we have so many benefits that accompany our obedience to the Word of God. There are definite results. They're not just an end in themselves when we obey the commandments of the Lord, but there are definite results. And the Lord has promised to come and make his abode with us. He's promised to come and manifest himself to us. What else do we need? Because accompanying all this manifestation of his presence are the glorious blessings that he has died to purchase for us. And so I'm thankful that this wonderful New Year's text that we have about pleasing the Lord and doing his will, doing the things he tells us to do, will bring us out into a glorious life, and we'll have many, many attending blessings, many, many benefits and bonuses, so many that we will not be able to contain them, and I thank God for it.
Amen.